Today we visit California's Corcoran State Prison for a very special audition. Say hello to Charles Manson as he tells us what kind of singer he is. This is American Psycho.
My boxcar and a jug of wine and a straight razor if you get too close to me.
Whenever you're ready.
Tell me somebody who hell you are.
Dude, you're the best that I've heard every week since we started this.
Tonight, you've proven that you are a front man and you're a star.
Yeah.
You have exactly what this competition needs. You're original, you're quirky, you have talent, you're different. You're just a star. Congratulations.
Yeah. Welcome to Hollywood, baby.
That's next time on American Psycho.
Other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Overprepared for a Day at the Beach Guy.
Overprepared for a Day at the Beach Guy.
To you, the beach means the simple things. Sun, sand, surf, three coolers of food, a half-acre white blanket, beach chairs, inflatable flotation devices, and a really good book.
You'll need a permit to build that beach tent.
Enjoy those 15 trips back and forth to the car.
Gotta get those dozen boogie boards, yeah.
So when you're next to a guy sitting under a designer sun canopy who has enough buckets and sand shovels to build the Taj Mahal, adjust your Speedo and salute to Mr. Overprepared for a Day at the Beach Guy, a real American hero. You know, getting away from it all doesn't mean bringing it all with you.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio. Get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
It's Monday, April 19th, and we're in the studio live yet once again. Good morning, Kara.
Good morning, Sam.
Did you call you Tara?
Did you forget my name or something?
Yeah.
You know, we do these sound checks, and then I always have to adjust.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's how it goes.
There we go.
Yes, so it is Monday. You're looking like you're ready to go.
Really, I did. You know what? This is early makeup. You know, y'all don't care about my damn makeup, but it's early. It was an early makeup job. I'm feeling a little tired because I did have a crazy weekend, and Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday went hard, went strong. You know, didn't want to keep going, but I kept going because that's what you do when you're single. When you're single. Yeah, you know, single is fun. Let's be honest.
It is.
I know
fun.
We're going to talk about dating later today, but I mean, being single's fun.
It is a lot of fun, I'm sure.
I mean,
I miss out on that.
You know, I always think I think the grass is greener thing kills people.
You think?
The grass is greener thing can kill people because I've heard it said, I heard some pastor say that comparison is the thief of joy.
Mm-hmm.
That when we constantly compare ourselves, do we measure up, do we look right, are we successful enough, are we blah, 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 whatever, rich enough or whatever, it's so easy to not, it robs you of the present, it robs mm-hmm. you of what you do have, it robs you of being able to kind of come to attention about the things that are awesome in your life. And, you know, I would love to be married and, you know, meet that guy, but I got to be honest, I mean, I'm having a good time.
Yeah, you see, that's it. You shouldn't hurry at all.
I know.
Take your time.
Yeah, I'm not in any rush.
Yeah, exactly. Because once you're married, you won't get to do all these things.
Yeah, but there's, you know, there's things you do get to do.
Yeah, I guess there are.
No, I'm managing an event this weekend, and I am going to a really beautiful location in San Diego, just north of it, Del Mar. Have you ever been there?
Yeah, on the way to San Diego.
It's so beautiful.
It is a beautiful place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I probably have some girlfriends that come with me, but, and I mean, we're going to have a blast, so it's...
I'm sure.
So even as I'm saying this, I'm like, ah, whatever, this is the best way to do it. But no, I was thinking, yeah, it'd be kind of cool to be married and have that person in your life that you can, like, get away and just wrestle around in the sheets and then head off to the beach and wrestle around on the beach. But we're going to have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We're going to have a lot of fun. Yeah, I'm not going to wrestle around.
You're such a woman.
Am I? What does that mean?
It means that you guys are, like, into relationships and stuff, you know? All we want to do is hide the salami, you know?
Oh. You're a dork. That's funny because I was seeing that Italian guy, which we're not seeing each other anymore. Because he is just way... I mean, Italian men, I've heard the stereotypes, you know? Mm-hmm. But it's true.
What
is? Too much, man. Too much. Too much romance. Too much aggression. Too much... You know, I literally think that after a certain, like, time of that you spend with a person, the Italian guy, it's just you really start to look like a steak.
Mm.
At first, maybe not so much, or maybe you do, but they can kind of hold it back a bit.
Right.
But they just, yeah, the steak part kicks in. I just can't handle it.
Yeah.
Can't handle it.
What do you mean? Like, looking at you as an object or something?
Too much want to do me. Can't handle it. Can't handle it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's normal.
No, I mean, it is normal to be attracted and to want to be with the person, totally
right.
normal and healthy, but when you're so aggressive about it and everything, trying to have...
Like really pushy?
Way too... It's just really? Got to where it's way too pushy.
So, like, you wouldn't take no?
Yeah, I'm not saying it's always physical. I'm just saying, like, even on the phone or whatever, he wants to kind of steer the conversation, like, sexually or romantically, and I'm like,
right.
I'm not freaking there. I'm not interested.
Yeah.
So, done. You know, we had a really good time.
See, that's the thing. You got to let them know right at the beginning.
I did.
Yeah.
I did. I don't conceal it. I'm like, well,
right.
This is where I am. This is what I'm. If you want to go out and have fun, great. Blah, 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 blah. But, you know.
Right.
And I understand how men operate. I think I do. I'm still learning. But
well, that's
why
we're going to talk to the author today, and you'll see how many mistakes women make. And,
I was reading some of the stuff she said. I think a lot of it sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like things are going well for me, though. I'm not really...
Yeah, you're not complaining.
No,
so
I go
good.
On a lot of dates. I have fun dates, and when I meet the right guy, I meet the right guy. Until then, bring the dates on. Hi. No,
yeah.
I don't know. I'm living life. I like people. I like experiences, and if you keep it casual, nobody gets hurt.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's according to you.
Look, I'm not breaking anybody's hearts.
Yeah.
Please.
Well, maybe if you're afraid of getting hurt, maybe there's an issue there.
You know? You're such a dork. Or you've been reading too many of your Jackie Collins novels. Kara, you're afraid. No, I actually read what she had to say. No, I don't think that's me. I've got other priorities right now.
Yeah.
So
what event are you going to be managing next week? What
it's
mean?
A promo. It's called, I'm not really, I'm one of the managers for a campaign I don't know if I'm allowed to say it on the air. It's nothing, anything weird. It's just because of advertising. Basically, the event is called Workout in the Park. It's Self Magazine,
mm-hmm.
and it's a great event that they do. And this one's in San Diego, and basically it's just this beautiful fairgrounds. It's really open. Last year was so sunny, and it's in a big horseshoe, and then there's a stage at the very end of the horseshoe, like the middle of it.
Right.
And they have like these fitness instructors, and these dance instructors, these yoga instructors, and women just come and bring their mats, their tennis shoes, and they just do these classes. In
right.
the middle of the park.
Oh, cool.
And it's just, and the music's pumping, and it's so fun. But in the horseshoe, there's all these different vendors and companies that I'm actually working with one of the companies, but they've got cosmetics, they've got massage chairs, they have all these different workout and beauty and health fitness related vendors. And it just feels so healthy, and these women are so pampered. It's great. They get a swag bag. And so I'm working with one of the vendors. And,
I see. Okay.
And do it. And I did it last year, but it's so exciting. It's just
really.
It's just promotions. But when I do fun promotions, it makes me want to do stuff. Like when I did the LA Triathlon, and I was like, okay, I got to do a triathlon before I die.
Right.
Got to do it. Got to do it.
Okay.
Yeah. And so this, I really want to. I think I might have some friends come with me, and they might do the workout in the park. But I think I'm gonna stay like the whole day.
Yeah.
And then come back.
Are you gonna be working out too? With them,
well,
or?
It's funny because I was managing last year, so I have to make sure everybody's doing their job.
That's true.
But then they had this awesome, it was the end, this awesome instructor who's from India. And you know that song, Jai Ho, ba da 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 da, Jai Ho, ba da da, Jai Ho, Jai Ho.
Don't know that one. Sorry.
Anyway, it's an Indian. Yeah. It was on Slumdog Millionaire.
Oh,
anyway,
okay.
She's teaching
that
us.
Figures.
She's teaching us the dance to it.
Uh-huh.
And we're dancing the whole time to like this Indian. And she was so funny.
Right.
And I mean, I was supposed to be like managing, and I was out in the middle of the park dancing. I was like, just keep doing your work. Jai Ho, ba da 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 da. Jai Ho, go back to work, guys. I'll be there in a second. Jai Ho, got my little snake move on. Jai Ho, I'm dripping sweat, getting my good work at it.
Yeah.
It was at the end. I was like, whatever.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of fun. But yeah, it's fun. These events are really fun.
Yeah.
So.
What do you mean it was a lot of fun? Did you
this
say
was last year. I did
oh,
last
that's
year.
Last
the
year.
The
okay.
client requested me, so they asked me to do it this
I see.
Week, this week, so I'm going to be doing it.
Sounds good. So you
yeah.
get into a lot of different things, huh?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, when you're pursuing, you know, the music, the comedy, all that good stuff, you kind of got to keep everything casual. All
and
the
it's
work.
Cool because it's not boring. You know, you're not
no,
doing
it's
the
a
same
lot of fun.
Over.
It's a lot of fun. So, yeah, I mean, I still need to pick up. I'm going to also start doing some work with another company, like trade show type stuff.
Yeah.
We shall see, Sam. But yeah. I have so much to tell you guys. We can do it later or now, but it's about the Los Angeles Comedy Short Festival.
Yeah.
I was invited to go with my good friend, dear friend, Sarah Cornell.
Yeah.
Her film premiered there.
Oh, she did a film.
She did a film. It's a short uh-huh. film. The film is called Planet Sun, The Tanfastic Adventures of Shane Stay.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a comedy that's spoofing the tanning industry. It's character
okay.
driven. They wear they wear crusty like makeup to make themselves look really tan. And like one's orange, one looks sunburnt, and one looks really, really dark.
Uh-huh.
And it's just so wacky and funny. And she's so funny and fabulous in it.
Yeah.
So I came as kind of like her publicist and to promote the film. And then I got really into the event. Like I didn't have any film there, but I was like one of the stars of the event because I just, you know. It took it to a different level. But before I get into all my grandeur, I must say big thank you to Los Angeles Comedy Shorts Festival. This is their second annual festival that they've done, and they're already in the top 10 comedy festivals. There's another magazine that endorses them as festivals that you should submit, that you get your money's worth.
Mm.
It's very financially feasible. They were so organized, and they kept the vibe very fun. They had great sponsors, which I'll plug those people later. But they had like food, and there was a drink. There was drinks, and then every night there was a party after each. They do like a series of shorts, and they'll have a little break, another series.
Right.
They do that all day, and then at night there's a closing party each night.
Mm-hmm.
And
is that a festival that goes on for a few days? Or?
Yeah, it started on Thursday, went till Sunday.
I see. Okay.
And it was so fun. And you know what's great? I said this to one of the guys who ran it. I said, you know, you guys kept it really, really fun, and it didn't have a pretentious vibe because LA can get really pretentious and stupid, and it's comedy. Like, I mean, I've seen it in the comedy world where comedy gets really, we're comedians, really smart, we're smart, funny, we're comics, we're jaded. Well, this was a bunch of writers, filmmakers, actors, the whole nine yards, and they were all there, and it was people from all over the world flew in. And just great, great people. I met so many awesome people. Plugged LA Talk Radio like crazy. So, like, I've got a stack of cards. People can't wait to come on the show. Seriously.
Really?
I was like, that's what we need. We need, you know, we've got a great listenership. We've got a great show. And we need to have people on here that would love to be on here.
Uh-huh.
Not these flaky kind of, you know.
Yeah.
Or, you know, people that are, like, have a lobotomy. Have them on the show and they have a lobotomy all of a sudden. Okay, cool. Awesome. Yeah, so these are a bunch of great people that are filmmakers and that have great causes that just would love to be on the show, so we'll get them going.
Sounds good.
I had a blast.
Did Claire go with you, too?
Claire did not. She had friends in town, but I could tell she was jealous the whole time.
Really?
Yeah, because, see, the thing is each day I went, I dressed up in character or something.
Oh, so you went each day to the show.
Yeah, I was promoting Sarah, yeah, and I was meeting people for the show.
Right.
Next year I'm going to get a press pass. We need to get a press pass so I can, like, walk around like a big damn deal. Okay,
yeah.
Okay. But, like, the first night I didn't know I was in for, so I dressed cute and just normal. And then the second night I was like, oh, no, this is a comedy festival. So my hair was really curly. I pushed it to one side of my head and kind of teased it.
Uh-huh.
And then I had like a Jackie O coat on and really short shorts and high heels. And I had these cute little socks on that had ruffles,
uh-huh.
like a schoolgirl.
Yeah.
And then here's the kicker. I got there and I took my lipstick, uh-huh. I had really, like really red lipstick on, and I just smeared it to one side of my face.
Really?
Just one, like I was this crazy lady.
Right.
And the whole
like
night.
Like the Joker.
Yeah, one side of my face. I just smeared it. And I was like, well, it's a comedy festival. We're going to test people's personalities.
Yeah.
But definitely, we had...
So you left the house like that? I mean, you went out looking like that.
Yeah, I sure did.
And people must have looked at you like you're crazy.
They did. But, you know, I like that. I like that. And it was a comedy festival.
Yeah.
People enjoyed it. They wanted to know each night what I was going to wear. The next night, I went as a cop.
Uh-huh.
Like Lady Gaga type cop. I had a cop hat on. I had all these crazy chains.
Yeah.
I had...
Where'd you get all that stuff?
Between Sarah and me, I put it together.
Yeah.
I had these gold tights on.
Yeah.
And, yeah, when I was a cop, went around trying to arrest people. That was fun. Took a lot. There's actually some pictures on my Facebook page.
Like Lady Gaga, huh?
Kind of. I mean, I say Lady Gaga because she's the front. She's kind of the pioneer of being crazy in, right. in like, you know...
All kinds of outfits and
yeah.
stuff. Yeah.
It's me. It's stuff I'd do anyway. Yeah. But also, and then the last night was the premiere of Sarah's film, again, that's spoofing the tanning industry. So right. Sarah and I both went with crusty tans.
Uh-huh.
So I actually got African-American makeup and put it on myself
uh-huh.
and smudged it in.
What's African-American makeup?
Like black makeup.
Right.
So I put it on myself
okay.
and made myself look really tan.
Right.
And I remember black people makeup. I don't know. I'm trying to be PC. I never know what is the right word. I know. It's when you try to be PC about it, people can know you're trying to be PC.
This show is not PC.
I know. I'm just trying to be respectful.
And besides, it's not. I mean, they call themselves black, and we've called them that for
I know.
A long time, and it's not a derogatory you know, term
I don't
anything.
Know. I go back and forth with it. It just yeah. kind of comes out that way.
Yeah.
So my bad.
You have to realize how stupid it sounded. You know, African-American makeup, you know? It just didn't
Shut
sound
up, Sam.
Right.
Shut up. I'm trying to be respectful. Whatever. I don't
okay,
know.
Go
and
on.
then I had a
So you were like really dark?
Really dark, and I had like tons of a big dollar sign that uh-huh. was on a chain.
Uh-huh.
I had this dress on that was super short and skimpy and tight. Go figure.
Yeah.
With and it
very
had,
unlike
yeah.
you, right?
And then I had the outline of a skeleton on it. And I had an Ed Hardy hat on.
Uh-huh.
And we were rocking it like crazy. I said I was like a douche baguette.
A douchebag. A douchebaguette?
A douchebaguette.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, because I'm a girl. But, you know, that's kind of those girls that just, hey, we're into tanning and we don't really have a future or whatever.
Right.
Not because
so
people...
So you all looked ridiculous, though.
Yeah, and it wasn't like people that work at tanning salons were spoofing. Not that,
yeah.
but that kind of person that's just
yeah.
crazy in the
so
world.
So you overdid the makeup and everything.
Oh, my look. Gosh, yeah. We're going to get photos later.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I cannot tell you what a great time I had and how awesome everybody was and... Mm-hmm. And it was fun, yeah. And I really want to plug some people's names. So when we get back from
were there a lot of people?
I would say 500 over
yeah.
the weekend, I'd guess.
Really?
Maybe more, maybe less.
Were there any films that worth your time? I mean, did you?
Oh
watch
yeah,
any
yeah. I watched a lot of them.
Really?
There's some of the ones that were earlier in the afternoon, I didn't get to because we were toe up,
right.
so it was hard to get ready. Yeah, there were some really great ones. Some are middle of the road. I would definitely say there were very, very few that sucked.
Oh,
like,
really?
Very few. Because, yeah. Number one, the production value on most of all the films was really top-notch, looked great.
Yeah.
There's a lot of celebrities sprinkled throughout the event that were in the shorts.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Warburton, Keenan from SNL. A lot of people you'd recognize, too. I don't remember the
yeah.
names offhand. Some were, you know, some really stood out and were like, whoa, those are funny and those are good and those are kind of odd, but I don't know. I really like it. And then some were just middle of the road.
Right.
But just to be there and have your film accepted in the festival was an honor.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
It's an honor. Sarah's actually been to several film festivals. She's been to Mammoth, Bel Air, and Slam Dance, which is a really good film festival. And she said that the LA Comedy Shorts Fest has got to be one of the best ones she's been
oh,
to.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Cool.
And she's been to several, so.
I mean, are they giving out awards or
yeah,
anything?
Yeah, there's awards. They had a celebrity beer pong one night. The red carpet event was last night. And, it's so funny because we walk the red carpet, you know, you do your little pose or you get interviewed. And Sarah and I did like funny, like, you know, stupid wannabe model faces and stuff.
Really?
And like funny stuff.
Yeah, girls like to do that kind of stuff.
Not like, hey, we're really hot. Ours is funny.
Right.
Yeah, but I think it is kind of a trend. I can't take myself that serious, though, in those environments.
No?
No, come on. It's more fun to be crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had so much fun, though.
Yeah.
A lot of great people, you know.
So how were you crazy? I mean, did you do some unusual stuff there?
Well, every time, I mean, for me, it wasn't about me, to be honest. It was
right.
really about the festival, and it was about Sarah and promoting right. her. But I mean, I had a great time. I just had yeah. great conversations, and I dressed crazy. I mean, I had makeup all over my face. I yeah. was, looked like a black person on, you know, Sunday night.
So what did people ask you? I mean, did people think it was weird that you looked like that?
People laughed, and yeah. they're like, oh, that's crazy. And some people would go around going, hey, you got stuff on your face. Hey, you got yeah. stuff on your face.
I know.
And then I'd always act like there's something in my hair. Like they'd be like this side, and I'd go to the other side of my face.
It takes a lot of balls to dress up like that.
Well, I'm an entertainer. Like I'm an entertainer.
Uh-huh.
I don't do normal that well.
Entertainer.
Yeah. yeah. No, I had a great time, and the food was great, and the vendors were great. I'm going to pull up some of the names. I want to send a shout-out because I know that they're listening. And I said, look, we really just want to plug you guys. Their festival, yeah. because they did a great job, and they're uh-huh. very generous. And
but the festival's over, so what's
well, it's annually. It's annually, right. and they're a newer festival, and it's kind of like get the word out and get people starting to think about, you know, getting those productions together, and if they've got that script that they want to submit, maybe tighten right. it up. And definitely, I mean, people that are doing it already they're already on it. But I mean, right. there's some people. It really was inspiring to kind of go, wow, I really want to kind of get some stuff together, get it filmed and submit it.
Yeah,
there's some really funny music videos.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Oh, man. People did these spoofed music videos. One lady, she was pregnant. Mm-hmm. And you know how there's the word, I don't like saying it, but the mother effer?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, she did like this whole spoof on, you know, what it really means to be that, which is really effing a mother. And so it was a music video of her with all these pregnant women dancing,
uh-huh.
and it was really funny. I mean, if you can look past that part, it was really, really funny. Yeah. The audience loved it. She was funny. They were dancing and really funny, funny stuff. Yeah, there's some great films and.
Well, sounds good.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. we would read.
Any hot guys that you noticed?
It's comedy, so that's very hit and miss. There were
what
some.
What does that have to do with anything? And besides, what about the guests and everything that came? You know?
Yeah, that's true. Actually, there were some good-looking men's. Mm. Actually, there were a couple that were really good-looking and cute.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know. I just think yeah, you get more writers, more filmmakers. They're not so. Wow. You know,
so
they sit at a computer, they type, they wear beards.
So it makes them look like shit after a while?
No, they're just kind of like low-key right. guys. I mean, I like what I'm attracted to is more of an essence of masculinity in a man.
Mm-hmm.
I like artistic guys. I love that. I mean, I love all of the sides of human, you know, people. But, yeah, artsy men, or just kind of like I work on that. I'm not feeling that. Does that make sense? Kind of like the guy that's kind of like, I'm in it, I'm doing it, I'm kind of, you know.
Yeah.
I find that people that are very, I'm a filmmaker and I'm very technical sometimes. Those people are, I don't really connect that well with because they're very yeah. insular.
Yeah, they're into themselves a lot.
Well, I try not to villainize because I've really learned a lot this weekend about. People that are just introverted or more insecure when it comes to social situations,
right.
and to just realize that I'm on the complete opposite end of that. Clearly,
right.
you know, eating lipstick across my face.
Right.
But some people that just aren't naturally inclined to know how to connect with people socially, they get anxiety or they get nervous or they're in their own little world. It's not necessarily has anything to do with you or they're not really up to par in that area.
Yeah. There might be something to what you're saying. I don't know.
Because I used to get offended. I used to be like, okay, I'm doing all the work here. I'm asking all the questions.
Yeah.
Come on, people. Get it together. Do a little snap.
Right.
I don't know. Do you have a
but
pulse?
But you take the initiative and stuff, you know?
Oh, no, that's I what, do. And I have patience. I've gotten a lot better with having patience with people. Like, we had some friends over, or I met some friends of a friend, and I was starting to feel kind of insulted because we were talking, and I just... They weren't making eye contact, and they weren't asking me any questions, and then they were really short answers. And then
right.
I kind of just I'm just one of these people that won't relent, so I'll just sit there in the awkwardness and be like, damn it, we are going to have intimacy. Whether you like it or not, we are going to connect. And I just kind of hung out, and then they started to kind of open up a little bit, and we started mm-hmm. talking more. And then it came out that he goes, oh, an extreme introvert, and that...
So he's just shy. Or
yeah,
insecure.
I mean, it's just not their nature. And then,
yeah.
then we started. They started to open up, and we started laughing, and we had a great time. But I was so quick to be offended.
That's one thing about people. You know, it's like, you know, they come across as rude and unfriendly and stuff, but sometimes they just are insecure or shy.
And it's so easy to take it personally and be like, what's the deal?
Yeah, I know. I do that, you know. But then think about it, you know. They must have gone, maybe they had a bad day, you know. Maybe they're just not comfortable making conversation. You know, there could be like a million things, but we always think, it's, you know, they're being rude, you know, they don't really care about me.
Well, you don't, I mean, all you know is the experience, so you really don't know where they're coming from. So, based on experience, you can just go, oh, well, that was uncomfortable, awkward, and they didn't really give a shit about me.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I had a really good friend, a really close friend, moved back to Texas, and she has like a social anxiety. So we'd get into social situations, and she'd turn into somebody I didn't know. She's gotten much better now, but we lived together for a long time as roommates, and I would be like, who are you when we get into public? I don't even know you. And all my friends that would meet her thought she was a major biatch.
Really?
They're like, she's so stuck up. She's like, I'm like, no, she's not rude. She's not stuck up. She's actually an amazing person, but just would get closed off and nervous and so debilitating nervous that it looked like she was a snob.
Right.
And unfortunately, a lot of guys thought she was like a snob and wouldn't approach.
Yeah, I mean, when there's no eye contact, you know, you think they're ignoring you or, you know. Mm-hmm. It happens a lot in L.A.
It does.
Right?
Yeah. I find that...
People are like, really, they rush all the time. They don't really have patience. They don't have the time to stop and look at people or... You know, that's why sometimes it's cool when you go to Starbucks and people are sitting outside actually watching people socializing.
I think it's alive. It's living. It's engaging. Yeah. It's being present. Like our guest, who was the comedian that was on recently.
Right.
The blonde. It was really awkward, wasn't it?
Right.
It was awkward.
Very.
And I was really didn't know whether to take it as an insult or I didn't know how to take it. Like, was I offending this person? Did they not really want to be here?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know how to take it.
I know. That's the vibe we got.
That's the vibe we got. But I later thought about it and Sarah listened to the show. I just think that she was just nervous.
Yeah.
And it just what maybe took her off guard and she wasn't prepared to be on a radio show. But which is weird because she's a super professional and excelling very well at her craft.
Right, yeah.
But I think maybe when you're performing versus when you're being interviewed are two different things.
Yeah.
For some people, they're not on comedians. They're
Plus, when you come in late, you know, you don't really focus on the interview.
Well, that's true. But I think that was really the situation.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because at first I was like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
Am I offending you by asking you questions?
I know. Didn't it feel like that?
Yeah. It was really weird. I was like, okay, I'm sorry I asked you to be on the show.
Yeah.
But then I later listened to it and I thought
and
about.
Then she softened up a little bit.
Yeah, and then she was really sweet when we left. She was, and I thought she had some great things to say too.
Yeah.
But it just at first I wasn't sure how to take it, like where the boundaries were. And then I just realized, you know, you never know where people are coming from. And I think especially with entertainers, like for me, I'm an on personality. My personality, even though I act and do different characters, my personality is pretty much upfront and the way I am. It's pretty,
what you see is what you get.
Pretty much, right?
Right.
But not to say I don't know stuff and I don't have any kind of mystery to me, because I do.
Okay? I see. Okay.
But I would say that there are some comedians and performers that they are on when they're on stage, and then themselves and who they are is different, and they're not on. It's just like Tony Sweet when he said he had Margaret Cho on his show.
Right.
Margaret Cho on his show.
Uh-huh.
That she was... He's like, oh, so what's going on? How anything? Good.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. And she just wasn't giving him anything.
Right,
so,
yeah. Some people are great. They're just not great interviews.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
So I've gotten better with kind of screening who we're going to have on.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. All right, we're going to get ready to call our author. The book is called It's Not Him, It's You, The Truth You May Not Want But Need to Hear. And obviously this is aimed at women. And it's pretty cool. I actually started reading this. And she's showing how women actually do have the advantage. You know how we always say it's a man's world, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
But she'll show us how actually women have the advantage in dating and so forth. So I thought that would be pretty cool.
Cool.
We're calling Christy Hartman. It would help if I brought up the volume, right?
There you go.
Hello.
Yes. Good morning, Christy. It's Sam and Kara calling you. How are you doing this morning?
Good. How are you both?
We're good.
Good.
We're good. I understand you're in Colorado, right?
I am. I'm in Denver.
Oh, in Denver. Well, that's a big city to be in. What's the weather like today?
It's really nice out. Beautiful spring day. It's sunny. I haven't been outside yet, but...
Yeah. This is cool. Have you lived there a long time?
Yeah, about 16 years. Although I did grow up in Orange County.
Oh, you did?
You guys are in LA, right?
Yeah.
So
you're
in Southern California. I see. Okay.
Yeah.
And, well, I don't blame you for moving to to Colorado. Sometimes it's a little quieter than what's going on here, you know?
Yeah, so, definitely.
Yeah. So, Christy, you wrote a book called It's Not Him, It's You.
I love it. I love
and,
the title.
And, yeah, I love the title. The funny thing is when they first sent me the paper, it said, it's not you, it's him. So they
I kind of like that. I think I like that title better.
That's a bit different, you know.
Yeah, it's a kind of a different theme, isn't it? Yeah,
there you go, yeah. So, yeah, so I found the book to be enjoyable and funny. Tell us a little bit about this. How did the book come about?
Well, you know, I've done a lot of research, both, you know, in my job as a psychologist, but also in the real world, dating myself and then talking to and interviewing a lot of people about dating.
Right.
And what I found is that, you know, dating is a tough thing for everybody, men and women. It's very challenging, but, you know, with... This book is about women's top 10 dating mistakes, and women may find dating frustrating. They may find men frustrating at times, but ultimately, it's really up to them to identify whatever mistakes they're making and fix them.
Right.
And a lot of times, they're making the mistakes and they don't even realize it. And once you know, once it comes to light, it's like, oh, this will make dating a lot easier if I fix this thing.
Right.
But that's kind of what this book is about.
Right. So you, what you're saying is, that it doesn't matter what the guy's like and stuff. You got to look at what you do. And, you know, and see which way the relationship would go. Because there's not much you can do about how men are. What you can do is you can change yourself.
Exactly.
And your attitude.
You just hit it right on the head.
Right.
That's exactly it.
Right. So, so what I found interesting is you pointed out in the book how, you know, it's let's say, general knowledge or it's accepted that men have the advantage in dating. And then you show and you deconstructed that and showed that it's really not true that women have the upper hand. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, the thing is that it is believed a lot of times, especially by women, that men have the upper hand because, you know, men do the pursuing, men do the calling, and they can stop pursuing, they can stop calling. And sometimes women really feel like men have the power, but really, men will admit themselves that they find women sometimes inexplicable. They don't always understand them. They don't understand the things they do. And it, really, in the relationship world, women have the upper hand because women are more relationship-oriented.
Right.
They have a more basic...
Most
women have a more basic understanding of what relationships are about, whereas men tend to find them a little bit foreign.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And so this gives women an advantage. And that advantage should be a good thing. That should actually give them some compassion for men. And it's really up to us sometimes to show men this is kind of how we like things done.
Absolutely. You know, and I have to agree because as a man, you know, when I used to be single, I would want... You know, I would want so much for a woman to at least let me know she's interested, you know. So
throw me a bone.
So I don't feel like I'm risking a lot of rejection, you know, because – go ahead.
Yeah. I'm so glad you said that because one of the mistakes I talk about in the book is that women expect men to make the first move, and really it's up to women to make the first move.
Right.
Men will make the second and third moves. If you show a man in any tiny way that you could be interested in him or that you're even just receptive to talking to him, that takes a huge load off his mind. It reduces his risk of rejection.
Right.
And if you're a woman, you get a chance of dating guys you like. If you just give them eye contact, smile at them, go up and talk to them, compliment him on his shirt, anything just to make his job easier.
Right.
I totally agree. I think that I always say it's give them the green light, you know, some kind of like open for business type thing, you know, like, you know, we're operating full, you know, kind of like, hey, I've got a pulse, right? I'm interested. Like, there's got to be some kind of welcome sign.
Yeah. You see, like Kiara, for example, will walk up to people and strike up a conversation, which is, I think, quite unusual to see.
I love it. Unusual.
Like, yeah. I mean, she'll go to Starbucks or something and start talking to a guy. I mean, this doesn't happen very often.
No, it really doesn't, and that's great that you do that because that you get a lot more dates that way. And the reason why a lot of women don't
and
do
I
that
do.
Is because Yeah, they're taught not to.
Yeah.
A lot of books will tell you, don't go talk to men. Don't make the first move. That's men's job. And it's like, that is complete bull.
Right.
It's so interesting, Christy. Please kind of expound on this. I was reading it because I here's my thing. I'm an extrovert. No problem, like Sam said, talking to people. I usually just find myself in those situations. It's kind of organic. It's not like, hey, my mission is to talk to this person. It just kind of happens. And I just,
right.
I let it unfold and just kind of enjoy the life part of it first. And if something romantic, great, comes out of it. And if not, either way, I'm having a good time. But my question is I was listening to what you said, and I was reading up on your book, and you said there's a difference between initiating and pursuing. And
right.
I think that that's really interesting kind of concept, because I've always wanted – I want to be the man who's a leader. So I've – tried to hold back a little bit more because I want to be with a man that if I do all the work for him, I mean, even in those beginning stages, then I might be with a passive man later. So what do you think about that as far as kind of like, kind of, I mean, every woman's different, so, but, you know?
Yeah, I do. I think this is a very important issue. And so what I try to tell women is that women initiate, but men pursue.
Okay.
You can certainly start things. You know, like you go up and talk to people. That's great. That starts things, you know, and then mm-hmm. he can take over from there. If he doesn't, he might be a little too passive for you.
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
But if you show that you're interested and you're friendly, it's like most guys will get the hint, you know, and if he's at all the average guy, he'll be like, hey, you know, you want to go out sometime or can I have your email address?
Yeah.
You know, and
or my
you know, I think, you know, if as a woman, you can certainly take a couple of first steps, but if he doesn't kind of take over from there mm-hmm. and you find yourself having to do a lot of the work, he's either really passive or he's just not that interested.
Yeah.
Right.
Hmm.
Like they say, he's just not that into you.
Yeah. Right, right. We've all read that book, huh?
Yeah.
So you have on here, it says if you had to choose which of the top 10 dating mistakes is the biggest?
Yes. If I had to pick one, I would definitely say it's having a negative or bad attitude about men or about dating. Right. And unfortunately, women don't always realize they might have a bad attitude because, you know, they're a little jaded and they hang out with other women who are jaded and they don't realize you're jaded and that is going to scare men away or it's going to attract more bad men into your life.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. So.
Yeah. So. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. So you spent many years dating as well, right? I mean, what was it in your experience? I mean, did you learn something from this that the things you've learned actually help you during your dating years?
Oh, you betcha. You know, that what we were talking about earlier about making the first move, that was something I was not very good at. I'm actually a little bit reserved.
Right.
And that did not serve me well.
Right.
If I was at a party and talking with people, I was fine. I would meet men. But in situations where talking is not encouraged, in like restaurants or the gym, for instance, I would have the most difficult time. I would not go up to men because I thought they would be annoyed or I thought they would think I was too flirty or obvious, or I just had the most difficult time with that.
Right.
And once I learned that that's BS,
right.
I finally started, you know, making those little moves, and it made such a difference in my dating life.
Right.
Back when I was single.
And you know, I think since it's so rare, then when that's why, you know, when Kira tells about, you know, walking up to men and starting to talk to them and stuff, to me it seems like so unusual that I would think it's flirty because it doesn't happen a lot.
Well, and I think that sometimes is the case. Like when I was in LA, is a different culture, probably than Colorado too, and it's a different culture from when I was in a little suburb outside of Detroit. And I remember just having an open personality, you attract a lot of things, and you have to kind of filter through those things. And some people think they're so repressed and they're so not used to openness that they they go straight for, oh, this woman's, you know, kind of crazy or whatever. But I don't just walk. I don't really walk up to guys. Let's get one thing straight. I'm usually in a situation where I'm sitting near somebody or we're in close proximity and there's eye contact made or something. And I find that, you know, in those kind of split seconds, if you're kind of intrigued, you're interested. And then I will either hold the gaze a little longer and then start drooling and panting. No, I'm just playing. I'll just kind of find that I like what you're saying, Christy, and I also think even if it's not a romantic endeavor, it's living to me. I think that's really important, is that you could go on these adventures and talk to people. I mean, I don't know if I told Christy, I was at a coffee shop, and I'm sitting near this guy who's much older than me. I like older guys, but he's older. And we start chatting, and I mean, we're an hour into chatting, and I'm like, I want to go out this guy.
You see, but she opened up opportunities for herself by not just sitting there and being passive.
Who knew that I liked him that old? Now I know, because I chatted.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
She chatted, you see? Yeah.
So, yeah, being extroverted is certainly helpful, and being friendly, you know, it makes you look more approachable. It makes you look more attractive. Actually, the studies show that if you take two women that are equally attractive and one of them is friendly and one of them is not, you know, they'll think the friendly one is more attractive. She'll get higher on the look scale.
Right.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
And it just makes, you know, it makes men feel comfortable talking to you. And the more men that feel comfortable talking to you, the more chances you are going to get dates.
Right, yeah. And, you know, I think an open mind, you know, and understanding men, and I think that's one of the things you did well in the book, is explain, you know, men's point of view and stuff, and let women know that actually, you know, we're in the same boat when it comes to dating. It feels awkward sometimes, and we both fear rejection and things like that, you know.
Now, Christy, do you mind? Are you married, or are you still dating, or what?
I am in a relationship, a long-term relationship.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
We've been together for about 2 years now.
Okay, cool, awesome.
Yeah, did you make the move, the first move?
You know. I kind of did.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of a funny story, but yeah, I was the one who kind of extended myself, and I think it threw him off a little bit.
Yeah.
But after that, he liked me.
Yeah, that's
there you
interesting.
Go.
You know, I realize that, you know, looking back, most of the women that I've had relationships with were actually ones that made the first move. So, you know, in a way, when it came to dating, I was pretty passive, but it's not that I wasn't interested in women. I was just that fear of rejection really played a big part in all of this, you know.
It does.
And it does.
Men hate being rejected, and who doesn't?
It's tough, exactly. You know? Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think women also think they might be rejected if they make the first move, you know.
I think though men have it a lot harder. I mean, I think with rejection, they don't bounce back like women do. I've had to cut a few guys off, and I was like, hey, let's do the friend thing, which I know most guys are like, what the hell? They're not interested. I look beyond it because I can do the friend thing, and sometimes I've maintained friendships with people, but most guys just, they can't bounce back from rejection quickly or well or at all.
Yeah, I think there is some truth to that, and it definitely has to do with a person's individual personality.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think... you know, and guys tire of it because they have to put themselves on the line so much. The other side of it, though, is that women get rejected after the initiation. Usually, like, if a guy doesn't call a woman anymore, you know, then that's where she gets rejected, and that's harder for women to take. But, you know, like you said, I mean, trying to see the other side's point of view, it will actually make you more successful in dating.
Right, yeah. Rather than just bad-mouthing the other sex, you know, because that happens quite a bit.
I meet a lot of people that are, I met this one dude who's like so bitter that he's been hurt by so many women, and he wants every other woman to pay for it. And I'm sure women do that to men. It's like, I don't know, I feel like with some of my girlfriends, it's just the perception of dating, like you said, there's an attitude that's off where they don't look at it as it can be fun, this can be adventurous, and just take it for what it is, and if, you know, as opposed to... you know, the weight, the stress, the anxiety, and it's like, I wouldn't want to go on a date with that.
Exactly, and that's, and those people, what they do is they just attract more bad luck to them, more bad dates, more, you know what I mean? If you have a bad attitude, you attract more of that to you. And I, you know, and I tell people, you have to let go of the past. Whatever, you know, whatever's gone wrong in the past, you know, try to identify what you could do better and do that.
Right.
Even if it's pick different people or, you know, learn from your mistakes, and don't take it personally if you have occasional bad date now and then. It's not your fault. You just have to move forward and let go of all the baggage.
Right. I went on a date with a closeted gay guy. No, I'm serious. We were on a date. He's so effeminate, and he's trying to be sexy romantic with me, and he's like, he talks like this, And I was like, you got to be bullshitting me. I'm supposed to be attracted to you right now. I've got to sit through a dinner with this. He's like, so what are your hobbies? And I was like, oh, I like singing. I like dancing. Do you like to dance? He goes, so what do you think? I'm like, I think you're probably really good at it.
Yeah, obviously the wrong guy.
Yeah, but no, my point is like, whatever, you know, just chalk it up. Tell it as a good story to other people later on the radio.
Yeah.
Yeah, and people have to accept the fact that when they go out on dates, that most of the people they meet are going to be wrong for them.
Yeah.
You know, if you can just do that, you know, and just accept that that special person doesn't come around very often. You have
good
to
weed
through a lot of people, and that's just the way it is.
Right.
That's
right.
A really, really good point. Christy, can you tell us how your book is different than all the other millions of dating books that are out there? Because there's a billion.
Yeah, there are. There are so many. I try to keep up on them, and I can't. But what makes mine unique is that it's actually written by a psychologist. I'm a psychologist. I've actually done – it's a research-based book. Most books, most dating books are actually based on the belief systems or the experiences of the author,
right.
You know. And that doesn't really help everybody all the time because, you know, my experiences might help some people. But what I try to do is pick up on the experiences of thousands of people.
Mm-hmm.
I actually cite psychological research, actual studies that have been done that show things like women do make the first move. That's not my opinion. That's fact.
Right.
Mm. And I try to avoid being, you know, I try to be supportive, not browbeating. And my book is not gamey. I don't tell women to play games or to try to futz with men. I just say, hey, you know, be straightforward. You got to like men, and you have to accept men for who they are if you want to succeed at dating.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. What is another like mistake that women do when it comes to dating? I know I remember you had a list of quite a few.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the ones I like to mention, one of in my top three is what I call planning your wedding after the first date.
Oh yeah.
That's funny.
I think men tend to do that too.
I think that really. So, I think girls in Texas do it. Oh my gosh, those Texas girls.
Yeah. Yeah, women are prone to this a little bit, and to some extent it's normal. If you really like a guy, sometimes you will imagine yourself married to him. You hope, wow, this could be my future husband, even though you just met him. But
right.
You definitely don't want to convey this stuff to the guy in any way. You don't want to rush in emotionally, you know, because that kind of stuff can really scare men away. Men tend to emotionally attach slowly, more slowly than women do.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
that's true.
Yeah. I know, if someone
came
on...
You want to give them a chance.
Yeah. If someone came on that strong, I'd be running for the hills.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, you don't want to, on the first date, go, so do you like blush or bashful? You like hardwood hardwood floors or carpet? Which one
already
do you like?
Already marrying you, yeah.
Yeah, that's not cool.
That will freak out men. Even men who really want a relationship, want commitment. I have talked to so many men, and that is one of their top complaints is that, you know, she said the L word way too soon, or she wanted to, on the first date, she was saying, well, what are you doing in a month? You want to go to a concert? It's like, you know, you might not even have a second date with this guy, and you're trying to plan what's going to happen a month from now. You know, you can't do that. It wigs men out. You just let them kind of set the pace.
Yeah,
you know, if they want to go out next week, then they say, hey, great.
Yeah.
What if they want to go out a lot? I found out, like, sometimes I'll go on dates and it's like, oh, what are you doing tomorrow? What are you doing tomorrow? And I love to hang out, so I want to hang out, but sometimes, like, no, we got to have a little space because I feel like I have to slow it down for them so that there's a build up and there's kind of that, you know, a little bit of a tension kind of built where there's a longing.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like some guys are
definitely. I think that's really important. I think that if some guys do want to move quickly, they want to see you every night after the first couple of dates, and I don't think it's a good idea. I think that you should move slowly, because I think if you move too quick, sometimes a guy can freak out and run away. But other times, you know, you just want to maintain, you want to get to know each other slowly and maintain that sense of,
right?
You know, what word did you use, Kara? mystery, maybe?
But, yeah, like you
yeah,
want some
you,
tension.
Yeah,
you
don't
want
to, yeah, tension. Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. And, you know, you don't want to go out more than once or twice a week with somebody at first until you really have established that, hey,
right,
this is somebody I want.
Unless it's a right, you know, the right person and there's chemistry right away and stuff and you can't keep your hands off each other, you know.
See, Sam's going in and just like ripping up everything you said. Yeah, that's good and all. But, you know, listen, I think, you know, if you guys are like feeling
it. I mean, sometimes you have that connection right in the beginning, you know.
You have the connection right in the beginning. You just have sex on the first date, and that's it. No.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely true. I mean,
and the second and the third, yeah.
And then you're done. Good. You finished a whole great relationship, screwed up in 1 week. Awesome. The rise and fall.
You don't have to screw it up.
I totally agree with you. I've heard it said, too, that women are the emotional compass of a relationship, and that they, and that, like you said, you know, men have to, it takes men a lot longer to emotionally bond to a woman. And if you are physical before that happens, like full-blown sex, then it can disrupt and kind of sever that process. Like if you
it really can. And I talk about that in the book, that men do tend to bond. You know, they often want to bond sexually quickly, but they bond more slowly emotionally. So it is sometimes in your best interest to wait until the emotional bonding occurs before you get sexually involved. It doesn't always work out that way, but you hope it does.
Yeah.
You know,
and
I think, you know, and for women in particular, if they really like a guy and want to move forward with him, you know, it's better to not push things forward too quickly physically.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, there's so much to talk about this that I'm sure we're not going to cover everything. But, of course, we're talking to Christy Hartman. The book is It's Not Him, It's You. Do you have a website that we can go to as well?
I do. It's ChristyHartman.com.
ChristyHartman.com. That's simple enough.
C-H-R-I-S-T-I-E, because there's many different spellings of Christy.
Right.
That's true. I keep forgetting that.
That's true, yeah. And, Christy, thank you very much. Did the book just come out? Is that pretty new?
It did. It's brand spanking new.
Wow, wonderful. Well, congratulations to you. I know, you know, a book coming out is like a little baby and stuff. So, we're definitely happy to talk about it. I enjoy the book, and at least the part that I read, I'm probably going to read a little bit more. And I'm a married man, but still, I mean, I always like to learn more about women and how they think, you know. And so I think the book is just as appropriate for men as it is for women.
Oh, well, thank you for saying that, and thank you so much for having me on.
Of course, Christy. Thank you, and all the best to you.
All right.
Thanks, Christy.
Thanks.
So that's funny. So interesting.
Yes, very interesting stuff.
Yeah, I think it. I think this book would be really good for. I mean, I haven't read the whole thing, so I need to sit down and read it. But I definitely think for people that are, for women that are struggling with. Really feel like they're not getting anywhere in dating and struggling maybe with the same results or, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm all for women understanding men and actually helping us out a little bit when it comes to dating, you know. You can't just like pose in the corner, never making any eye contact and expect the guy to approach you, you know. It's just...
I think women are crippled by fear in some ways and insecurity, and that's the way they do it, and it's and there's a price to pay for stuff like that.
Yeah.
But
to just stand there like sheep and wait for guys to actually
make the first move.
It's a
little arrogant in a way, too, right? That's a little bit like, I'm just so precious.
Yeah.
You should do all the work.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back right after this.
For the most entertaining talk anywhere, stay tuned to LA Talk Radio. Your real talk station. Your real 24 hours of commercial-free programming.
I felt high. jump in on the conversation. Dial 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815 and get in on the fun. Now, let's get back to Sam and Karen in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
So the situation in Europe with the flights, man, it's like, you know, still, I don't know how many tens of thousands of flights they already canceled. But just imagine being there after your trip, you know, you spent all your money and now you're in the airport and you find out that you can't fly. What do? You know, you have no money left. You want a sandwich, you know, you want anything. You get hungry. And what the hell do you do, you know? And
well,
this is just the beginning.
Are they accommodating them? Or are they?
I can't imagine that they would, you know.
How do you cancel everybody's flights and then?
Well, how do you put up all these people? I mean, you're talking about thousands and thousands of people. Where the hell are they going to put them all?
Now, this volcano that erupted over Iceland, has it ever erupted? Is it usually dormant?
It's erupted before.
Really?
They say, yeah. So the UK is sending in Navy ships to bring some travelers back home, which is interesting.
People got to go.
Yeah.
They got to go. Or you got to, you know, it says airlines are estimating about 200 million loss every day.
Yeah.
That's not good.
$200 million that they lose every day. Yeah. You see, that's going to impact the economy, too. I don't know to what extent, but I'll bet you it's going to affect something. I mean, everything's brought down to a halt. You know, business meetings, tourism.
Oh, I hear you.
God, you know, you can't even begin to think of all the damage this has done. And, you know, I mean, imagine and all the people that had to rush, you know, for who knows what reasons. You know, if someone in the family died, they wanted to go to the funeral. And they ain't going anywhere.
I know.
You know?
I'm trying to find out if the passengers are being taken care of.
I'm sure they're not. Everybody's out for themselves. And because it's not really the airline's fault, you know? I mean, it's not like they canceled the flights because of problems that they had.
Mm.
But rather than, you know, it's a problem. So apparently over the weekend they sent up some test flights that...
crashed and burned.
No, they didn't crash at all. In fact... there was no problem, but they said that it's not good enough for them to allow planes to just fly again.
It says right here, it says they have the right to rerouting or refund, the right to reimbursement of the journey that's already been flown, that basically just a refund, right to compensation for canceled flights, but not including long delays.
Yeah.
That's with British Airways.
Yeah. But I'll bet you people are stuck at the airports. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, it's a few days. You're not talking about a few hours or a day or two. You're talking about, what, a week already? They haven't been flying?
Yeah, but the thing is like, what do these people do? And I'm also, I mean, I've had flight delays where they've put me up in hotels.
Yeah, but like I said, that's a different situation altogether, you know? That's, you know, if they have a mechanical problem or something or... You know, they just had to cancel a flight for some reason, then yes, they'll put you up in a hotel, but not in this situation. I can't imagine that they would. I mean, that's just a lot of people.
Yeah. I mean, how many people are we looking at?
God knows, you know, hundreds of thousands of people easily that have not flown that were supposed to. Yeah, maybe even in the millions. Who knows?
Wow. Man, there's a bunch of people that are stuck that are posting things right now saying my husband's stuck and stranded in Dubai. His journey's urgent. You know, the information line said they can't help them right now.
Right.
It says stranded passengers feel like prisoners, afraid to move in case any information comes in. Just stating that there will be statements every 12 to 24 hours would at least free them from constant worry.
Yeah.
You
see, that's the thing. They had some test flights with F-18s, and you know, and then they started looking at what happens to the engines and stuff. And they say that melted ash could block cooling passages and may result in engine damage and overheating.
Mm.
So that is the problem, you know. And they've got a lot of videos of people stuck there.
Yeah, well, this is from a worker that works He says, I think that the passengers in Dubai Airport are actually really lucky, as I am working at the airport. Everything is working 24 hours there. Passengers can browse the internet for free. They can eat. They can take a shower. And there are shops and pharmacies. Better to wait until this volcano will go and then to reach their destination and reach their destination safe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Passengers about the cancellations of flight to the UK by phone. Okay, so they're having some sustenance. I mean, it sucks. It sucks.
Yeah. You know, what they're not talking about a lot that I wonder is all the ash that falls on the streets and that, you know. I would imagine it'd be quite significant, you know. And mm-hmm. But then, you know, I haven't seen any article about this. Like, you know, what happens there? As far as the ash goes, if you forget about the flights for a moment, you know?
That's true. I mean, it's
still,
like, how's
disastrous,
everything? Hmm.
You know, to breathe all that stuff, and it's definitely not good.
Well, I'm on, it says gonomad.com, and it says, know your rights, airline passenger rights.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it says, when you buy an airline ticket, you have entered into a contract with the airline you are flying. As with any contract, you have a right to a copy of the rules. With international flights, the contract is called tariff rules. So while some of these conditions are printed on your ticket, many are not. The U.S. Department of Transportation states that all flyers must be furnished with this information. So they should have been given information. Get the rules and learn the ones concerning three air travel concerns: safety loss, mishandled luggage, and bumping compensation. So, it goes on to talk about, you know, the different, it all depends on the flight.
Right.
And the contract that you have with that specific airline.
Yeah. I would just think this is like a natural disaster, and thus, you know, they're not liable for any of this.
So it says that the Department of Transportation has some minimum amounts of guidelines for compensation of passengers who are bumped from U.S. domestic flights, totally different than what we're talking about.
Yeah.
So there's some stuff that the U.S. takes care of, but international is totally different too.
And you know what sucks is that some planes don't even stop in Europe. They just have to fly over, and they're screwed too.
Mm.
You know, but even if you just have like a layover or something in Europe,
mm-hmm.
you still have to cancel your flight. Even if you're flying, let's say, from the United States to Africa or something, you know, you might have to make a stop in Europe. And you ain't going anywhere.
I know. You're like, damn.
Wow.
Should have got a one way. That's really, really tough.
Yeah.
It's really, really tough.
It says it's costing the airlines $20 million a day. $200 million a day.
That's awful.
Yeah. That's a lot of money.
That sucks. Man, my heart goes out to them.
63,000 flights have been canceled already.
Hmm. So, I just wanted to quickly do a plug-in for some of the people. This is a different note.
Mm-hmm.
That won the awards at the LA Comedy Shorts Festival.
Uh-huh.
And first of all, some of the sponsors for the festivals were Funny or Die, The Onion, Adam.com. There were so many awesome sponsors. I'm just going to quickly say Yelp was there, Prairie Organic Vodka, one of my good friends, as of this weekend, because he hooked us up, was Ventura Limoncello Company. And then there's the Kovacs Brothers, which they do awesome wine out of Carmel Valley, and both of the brothers are actually pretty cute. So when you were talking to me and asked me if some of the guys were cute, yes, the Kovacs Brothers were cute. Pop Chips, and many, many more. You can actually go to Los Angeles Comedy Shorts .com, I believe.
Okay, and why do we care about the sponsors?
Well, I just thought they did a great job,
uh-huh.
to be honest, and I told them to tune in, and that they would, you know, I'd tell them, hey, tune in, we'll pimp you out.
Yeah, but the listeners could give a shit.
Well,
you know?
They may be interested.
You think so? Okay.
Yeah, and just everybody did a great job, and I said, listen, guys, we're gonna plug you in.
Yeah.
Whether Sam likes it or not.
So there you go.
There you go. They got plugged.
So there's the plugs.
Plug, shameless plug. but they deserved it. They did a good job.
Yeah. So we were talking about natural disasters. I guess the earthquake in China, already 2,000 people dead.
Really?
Yeah. 6.9 magnitude earthquake. Remember, that was last week.
I know. I remember the time. There was 400 that were dead, and now it's up to 2,000.
2,000.
Somebody told me that it was in the western part of China, and that that we're starting to hear more about earthquakes and the destruction because population has increased,
right.
And it's more places that used to be more rural are now built up in cities,
exactly.
So that the destruction in level is higher.
Right.
And that's one thing. I've also read that because of globalization and that the news travels quicker, that we're just becoming more aware of the constant earthquakes.
Right.
And that something around like 17 major earthquakes are it typically happen in a rotation,
right.
Throughout a certain kind of time frame. So are they happening quicker or more frequently? Yes, but is that part of a cycle? Possibly.
Yeah.
So.
Or are we just reporting it more?
Or are we just reporting it more? Not to downplay or trivialize the destruction, but that.
Right. There's a lot of people that many times people say, you know what, this is worse than it's ever been. But I don't think so. You know, I mean, it's just that I think in during other times, people would not discuss things, you know, in the way that we are now. So things would be buried, you know.
Well, I wonder, though, because I do feel like they are more frequent. But I'm not a geologist or an earthquakeologist.
Mm-hmm.
So... You know, and apparently there's a lot of fault lines that have just been inactive that are starting to become active.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
The Earth is getting angry.
What do you think? What do you think about it, Sam? What do you think?
What do I think?
Mm-hmm.
I just think that the tectonic plates are having a hard time staying together, and they're causing a lot of earthquakes. What can I tell you? You know, nature moves on all the time.
Mm.
Yeah. So this weekend we attempted to watch The Hurt Locker. Have you seen it?
Yes. And what did you think?
And I, you know, from the first 15 minutes, I really liked it a lot. But then we just figured, you know what? Maybe we're not in the mood for a war movie right now. Mm-hmm. So we kind of turned it off. But
oh,
I do want to finish seeing it. No, we didn't finish seeing it.
Oh, you just saw? You didn't know it
like
was a war movie?
Like the first 15 minutes? No, we did. But you know, it was getting kind. It's a very tense movie.
It's very intense. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not like your typical war movie at all.
Right.
It's really about it. I thought
it's about the people more.
Yeah.
That's why I want to finish watching it. But instead, we watched a movie with Katherine Hagel called The Ugly Truth with Gerard Butler.
Now, Sarah and I, my roommate and I, we have a long-standing kind of argument and debate about this that you kind of just walked right into this. So here we go. Basically. The art films, I don't know if you'd say that The Hurt Locker is an art film. Yeah, possibly. But that the indie kind of, you know, these films that are like life is hard and they explore the different sides of humanity and there's these twisted plots that are just...
Like more character-based.
Well, and it's just very like intense and intense and intense. And I find, and this is not in it from any deep research, but that you're middle Americans, you're hardworking... blue-collar Americans, the people that are, not just blue-collar, but people that are just working really, really hard and long hours, and usually, you know, the South, the West, I'm sorry, Midwest, and it's like, life is rough as is. It's not that it's bad, it's just, they're already kind of churning and burning and trying to get through the work week, right?
Right.
The weekend comes, they don't want to sit in front of some artsy film that's talking about how hard life is.
Right.
Great for your cinematography. Great that you're a great actress. But you know what? I'm just trying to get through.
Yeah, you want some
Give
entertainment.
Me, I think
movie.
That's why a lot of the blockbusters and the comedies they do really well. And and even though I don't think The Ugly Truth at all was a good movie,
it was
just like stupid. I think people forget why people go to the movies. They go to escape.
Yeah.
And to be entertained, and you know, hopefully they want to feel, but they don't necessarily want to feel every movie that's out there because, you know, they're just like, look, man, entertain me, let's do some fun stuff. On my Facebook page, when I go to my home and my home Facebook page, and I see all the updates and status updates, and I have, you know, the friends that I'm still in touch with are really more the community of people that I knew growing up with in Texas. Girls I'm not really close to or whatever, but just we're still in touch. You know how Facebook is. You just stay.
Yeah.
It's like a reunion every day. It's a high school reunion. My high school reunions this year, I'll probably just go to Facebook.
Yeah.
But basically, you know, it's the same kind of, ooh, Mondays suck. Can't wait till Friday. Oh, hump day. Is it Friday yet? Or, oh, do I really have to do this? Yeah. Can't wait for Friday.
Is that what people write?
All the time. And I find it's more in the working kind of blue collar, not blue collar, I keep saying blue collar, but just people that have your basic 9 to 5 or even longer than 9 to 5,
right,
that they're living for the weekend.
Right.
And they're already just, they're working 2 or 3 jobs, or they're working hard, and they just keep thinking about the weekend.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you can't blame them. You know?
I know, I can't blame them. I'm just saying.
But you're right. It's
so people that are working like
that, every day,
they're not necessarily going to want to relax watching The Hurt Locker.
Yeah.
Although I think The Hurt Locker was a really great film.
And I'm sure it is, and I'm going to finish watching it.
But I find myself too, when the more busy that I am, and the more my schedule gets packed, and I sit down and my roommate's like, "Hey, let's watch this movie," and I'm like, "Which one is it?" It's like this deep, artsy, the movie. I'm like, I don't want to devote my heart and my mind to this right now.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's not artistic or creative, but you're asking me to sit down and devote 2 hours or whatever of my life to engage in this story and emotions. And you kind of go, well, do I really want that? Do I really want to participate in that right now?
Right, yeah.
I mean, sometimes you need to experience that, because it takes you into different worlds and you can empathize and, you know, go on someone else's journey, but sometimes it's just so gratuitous.
Right. It's, you know, it's because people approach movies, you know, in a different way. Some people go to a movie to see good movie making and
I do,
you know, and so forth, or good dramas and that. But you're right. I mean, me personally also, I like to be entertained with a movie and not have to, you know, I mean, I do like movies that make you think, but you know, but like you said, not those depressing dramas and shit. You know?
And it's not that I don't like them, but I just find the more you kind of get, the more you kind of get like engaged in life, and you're really tired and you're doing stuff.
Right.
You just, you're not looking to, who are you checking? Who's blowing up your phone?
No, nothing. Just, it doesn't matter. I mean, I shouldn't check my phone.
I'm just giving you a hard time.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, my drug dealer, but don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I'm going to tell him to call back later.
Yeah. But there was a funny scene in Ugly Truth with the vibrating panties. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. Like, what girl has vibrating panties? It's so realistic.
Yeah, well, she got it, and she was at a restaurant with a few people, and then the remote fell out of her purse, and this kid found it. So he starts playing with it, and as he turns it on, she's like starting to have orgasms right there at the table. So that was kind of a memorable scene, but
how realistic, though? That's my other thing.
Well, it's not realistic. That's what these what they call them, like romantic comedies. That's what they're about. You know, it's about everything being absurd.
Yeah. No, I totally.
This shit never happens. You know.
I totally hear you.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, I think that the movie itself was kind of this. I get you want entertainment, so you're not looking for it to be realistic necessarily.
Right.
But it needs to still be entertainment.
Right. Exactly. And yeah.
Did you like it? You thought it was funny?
No, I just enjoyed watching her. You know, she's pretty hot and stuff. But I thought the acting sucked. I thought the story sucked. I just thought that was a bad movie.
What do you think about Gerard Butler kind of going in more of that, like, every woman's man kind of direction? I thought
the truth is that I never heard of him until recently when I saw one of the billboards. But so this was the first time I've ever seen him in a film, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I mean, he seems pretty cool.
Yeah, well, I think that he was. Yeah, he's totally a hunk, man.
Mm-hmm.
But he's super hot in the movie 300. Did you see 300?
No, I didn't.
Sam, you got to get up on that. That is a good film.
Is it
a good film? Oh,
yeah.
And it is.
So he was in it.
He was the lead, and he was smoking hot. He's kind of like a version of what's his name, Russell Crowe in like Gladiator,
mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like. I don't know if I want to see Russell Crowe in a chick kind of romantic comedy,
mm-hmm.
unless he's really good at it. And I just don't feel like Gerard Butler's playing that part really well. I think he's better being like the hero type dude that's kind of rugged and like beats down stuff, but for a good cause.
See, I can't imagine that, probably because I saw him in a romantic comedy.
I know. I don't like this Gerard Butler kind of guy.
Are there any romantic comedies that you do like, that you did like?
I mean, I like some of the older ones, like Harry Met Sally.
Right.
You know, those are kind of fun. I actually liked Truth About Cats and Dogs with Janine Garofalo and Uma Thurman, that's a little different.
Yeah.
I like some fun, odd ones also. The one with Adam Sandler, that Punch Drunk Love. Mm-hmm. It's kind of quirky and weird, off the beaten path. Yeah, so I do like them. I really love, actually, romantic comedies.
Yeah.
I actually, my favorite, cheesiest one is The Notebook.
The Notebook?
Yeah, and I know. Really? I know. It's got such a stigma of being just like, but it's so good.
A guilty pleasure?
It is, but it's like cheesy and sappy done well.
Right.
I mean, all the cliches of like a love story are in it, but yeah. But it's done well.
Yeah.
And the acting, I think if you just looked at the sentence, like Ryan Gosling brings such an intensity to the character that I think most people would be really, really, really cheesy. But watching Ryan Gosling do this was amazing.
Yeah.
It was amazing for me.
It's amazing.
It's amazing for me. There's a scene where she's on the beach and he's just gazing and looking at her and she's playing around. She's like, she's flapping her wings like she's a bird. And she goes, I'm a bird. He goes, no, you're not. She goes, I'm a bird. Then she goes, say I'm a bird. He's like, nope. She's like, say I'm a bird. He's like, nope. He goes, well, if you're a bird, I'm a bird too.
And this was supposed to be a cool part.
It's a sweet part. It's sweet. It's
oh
sweet.
My God.
Just go, freaking, you know.
Yeah. You totally blow me away. We got to take a break after that.
Why?
Okay. I'm a bird too. That's supposed to be like a great line.
Freaking go watch a movie. It's good.
I will. The Notebook, huh? I thought that was a drama or something. So that was a comedy?
It is. No. Oh, I'm sorry. That's not a comedy.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Thank you.
My bad.
Yes.
Although it made me laugh, so.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll take a break. We'll be back right after this.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
Euro trash rock. Let's get back to Sam and Kara in the morning. Right here on LA Talk Radio.
So I think that we should do away with pennies altogether. We don't need pennies. Create so much, so much trouble, I think. Like, what's the point? What's the point in pennies anyway? I mean, can't we, like, make a nickel the lowest denomination?
I guess I'm cool with that.
Yeah, what's a penny? I mean, why do we have them?
So are you suggesting that you take the loss and just be like, oh, we owe you 3 cents, so...
No, you adjust the prices. You adjust the prices, so there'll be multiples of five.
Oh, that makes sense. You
know?
Okay.
Yeah,
I was like, so you're saying you don't want your 3 cents, or you want them to round up to five?
Yeah, so instead of 1999, make it 1995. You don't have to deal with pennies.
That's smart. Way to go, Sam. Where'd you go to school?
I don't know. But, I mean, check this out. There are 6 pounds of pennies in the average American home. And there are an estimated 140 billion U.S. pennies in circulation. Yeah. Like, why do we need them? Who uses them? It's just like extra weight in my pocket every time I get them.
What about doing like a penny jar and then like recycling it or like, getting your cash?
Yeah, but what's the point,
Six pounds of pennies, how many pennies is that? How many dollars?
That's a lot of pennies. I don't know how much, but it's quite a bit.
How much is 6 pounds?
Do you think you'll find that?
Well, I'll freaking take your 6 pounds off your hands. Yeah. I'm serious, we could find out how much it is and then I'll take it from you.
Oh, you will?
Oh, yeah, I'll take it off your hands.
Well, I don't save any pennies.
Where do they go, then?
In the tip jars.
Oh, that's smart. Freaking smart. So, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
We had OK Magazine trying to spin a story that Jennifer Aniston and Gerard Butler were planning on having a baby together, or he was going to donate. I don't exactly know. And they just kind of spin the story over and over that was the situation. Well, it's not been confirmed, or it's been confirmed that's not true.
Okay.
So, but then it got me kind of questioning, women that are aging and haven't had a child, or they're not with a partner yet, right, and wanting to have a kid. I mean, what are your thoughts as far as when a woman kind of is like, I want a kid no matter what,
right,
should she just take it upon her own measure, go adopt or get artificially inseminated or whatever? Or like, the cheap way is ask your friend down the street that you really think is cool, hey, let's work this out, and then just, you do your thing, I do my thing.
Yeah, I think each one of these actions is selfish. I think...
Totally agree.
Yeah, I think, having a baby without a father just for your needs, I think is wrong.
I totally agree, and I don't feel like that. I feel like societally it's spun in a way where it's like liberating, and I don't need anybody, and I've got babies now.
Yeah.
Tons of babies. I totally agree.
Yeah. No, I don't think it's healthy at all, And I think it's a selfish act because, some people would beg to differ, of course, and because, some women feel that, my clock is running out. And, I need to, I've always wanted kids and stuff. But the question is, find someone to do it with. What's the big deal?
Well, it is a big deal.
Yeah, but, I don't know. I think you need to think of the child and you're robbing them of their right to have a father nearby,
I think that starting off with that motive is absolutely, I would totally agree. And I've also met women that, they may be involved with somebody and married, but that they're not able to have kids. Mm-hmm. And first of all, I've been watching like The Real Housewives. It's one of my favorite guilty pleasures. Okay, uh-huh. These women are ridiculous. It's hysterical. But there's this lady, Bethany Frankel on The Real Housewives of New York, and she for a long time has just been. She's a career woman. She's been very successful at what she does, but just hasn't had the She's a mythoman.
Right.
And so there's kind of like this pressure. And she started to look kind of desperate. And now she's married, or she's married, I think she's married now, and I'm not sure. Or she's with a guy, and they're pregnant now. And they're having a kid. But here's what I have to say to women. If it's not happening, whether you're married or not married or whatever, and you keep going out of your way to try to find new ways to do it, and it's like, oh, I got to have a baby, got to have a baby. You need to be home by 3. We got to do it because I'm ovulating or whatever. It's fine. I'm not judging the method. But whatever you do, the desperate vibe that women have to get pregnant stresses out everybody.
Yeah.
It's not sexy. It's not attractive.
Yeah.
When you're like, I got to have a baby. Hey, baby, you got to give me a baby. My point is like, nobody wants to do that.
Yeah. What would you do? I mean, if you got to a point where you haven't met anyone.
Yeah, that's a good question. Let's
You know, and your clock is ticking. What are you going to do? I mean, when it comes to you, it's a whole different ballgame.
Well,
you know?
I think you never know, too, in this situation. But I do think that, let's say I'm not. Okay, if I'm married and I'm trying to get pregnant and I'm not, I'm going to maybe, I don't know what methods I'll go about doing, to whether that's adoption or something medical, or if it's like kind of just keep doing it till you get it right. I don't know. I'm not in that situation. I do hope, though, that whatever method and direction I go with, that there will be a maintained sense of calm and kind of lack of desperation, because I think what happens is where people find their identity in women. It's that, yeah, there's a biological desire to want to have children, but to find that as your worth as a woman, and that's your identity, I think is screwed up.
Right.
And there's
but
some
maybe
people,
that's not the reason they want one. I mean, I would imagine that many of them want a kid just because they want to have a family. They think they would love motherhood. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that.
It's and I think that that's fine, but when it becomes this desperate need,
yeah, it's the motivation.
It's strangling. And I think that... if for me, I mean, I was talking with a good friend of mine, and she was sharing with me some things on this subject that she's going through. And basically, she's done a really good job at not letting the fear drive her.
Right.
Because we were talking about, you know, the root of everything is either fear or love. There's two polar opposites in life: fear or love. Everything it can only come from one or the other. And so, if you're stressed out that your biological clock is ticking and society says you should be here, and you're like, well, what about this? What about that? It's all fear.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes sense. It's healthy to have the fear, but that shouldn't be what drives us.
Right.
And it needs to be, I think, ultimately, you have to kind of sacrifice things and go, I'm going to sacrifice not knowing if it's going to happen. I'm going to sacrifice, it has to look like this. My life has to look like this. And we were talking about this great comment that is a comment off of scripture in the Bible that says, basically, you can pursue life so much that you lose your soul.
Yeah.
You're basically chasing the life and the things in life and what you think life should be, and you're losing your soul in the process. And I think that is just so monumental to all of us, whatever side of the fence you're on, what you believe, that we lose our character, we lose our peace, we lose our sense of everything, like peace of mind, and at the end of the day, I mean, I know people that are like, I gotta have this, and if you looked at what they wanted, oh, okay, that's great, that's I want that for you too, those are great things, but it's almost like sometimes I've seen people change trying to get the things that they want,
right.
And it's not that the things that they want are bad, but they've worshipped those things. Now those things have to fill them and make them happy, and now are their identity.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really think that in society you see people trying to use kids to fulfill them, that, you know, if it's me, which I don't know, but if I were in a situation where I wasn't with a man, or if I was married and we couldn't have kids, I don't know. I just think that there's going to have to come a time where I go, well, it's not, what life am I supposed to live? If this isn't happening for me,
yeah,
then I'm going to
live. But look, when you're married, it's a different story, because then you can adopt.
Yeah,
you know,
but when you're single.
Yeah, when you're single, it's a whole different thing.
Well, I think it goes back to what I said earlier about the comparisons to Thief of Joy. It's like, well, if my life right now is single and I don't have that in my life, well, then I think I need to be looking at what I do have and enjoy it. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, I'm single right now and I'm loving being single.
Right.
I have so much
but
fun.
But you're young.
And I am young.
You know?
And I'm not saying I'm always going to love it like I do right now, but I kind of have to go, well, what direction is my life going? And if this isn't happening for me right now.
Right.
Do I need to go desperate searching, like on a freaking, you know, scavenger hunt, looking and trying to force it and make it happen?
Right.
And I ultimately just believe in the sovereignty of God. I really do believe we make choices, but at the same time, I do believe in like a guidance. And where are we supposed to be? Like, do I just make up every decision I want and force it to happen? It may not be the right thing for me.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it just may not be. I think there's a lot of things we think we want, and then we look back in retrospect and go, I'm glad I didn't get what I wanted.
Yeah.
Or we've gotten
That's
some of
it. Sometimes we don't realize it at the time, you know?
Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, I do. I'm a woman, so of course I think about it. I'm in my 20s still, but I do.
Are you?
Yeah.
A woman?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Thanks for clarifying
I'm
that.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Of course I think about where everything's going. Because I was like, well, I thought – I've never been one of these, like, girls that has to have – this kind of amount of kids,
mm-hmm.
but I did kind of come from a really big family, so I thought mm-hmm. I wanted a lot of kids,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, well, if I wanted a lot of kids, I should have already got on top of that. So I don't know if I'm gonna have a lot of kids.
Yeah.
Or maybe I'll adopt. I don't know.
It's still early for you. I mean,
oh, it is early. It is early.
You could easily have three kids if you wanted.
Yeah, but you know.
One after another. You
boom,
know.
Boom, boom, boom.
Boom, boom, boom.
Then get a. Ugh.
That's the way to do it.
And I know some people that just don't want kids.
Yeah.
Just don't want them.
Yeah, and you know what? Those should not have kids, you know? And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that some people should not be parents, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I feel
so
like, too...
It's a
too,
good thing when someone recognizes that they don't want kids.
Yeah.
Know, rather than bring them and then feel like they're an obstacle in your life.
I'm so divided. On one hand, I would love to have a family. And on Saturday mornings, we make big breakfasts together. We have dance parties everywhere. And play with my kids and love them and watch them grow up and really kind of have a legacy in that regard. But then also, I look at families that I know and that I love that are awesome. They're doing great jobs. And I'm like, boring. It's not that it's boring. I'm like, this sucks. I'm like, this sucks. I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
But it's both.
Careful,
I mean,
what you wish for, you know?
Well, I'm just saying, I'm looking at it, I'm really divided, is what I'm saying. Sometimes, like I told you, I went on a hike the other day,
right.
And this lady came out in front of me with a stroller, and her friend were power walking
uh-huh.
with the kid, and I just was like, oh, get the baby away from me. So freaking over babies, which isn't true, I love babies, but just, I don't know, I go back and forth, which probably means I'm not ready, which is,
no,
I'm okay.
No, you're not ready.
Which I'm fine with, yeah.
Yeah.
I look at it like, oh, this is a beautiful phase, the next stage in your life, and you get to, you know, create love and home and all that stuff. And then sometimes I'm just like, oh, what a ball and chain that would be.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? But then you have a kid, yeah. you're never gonna wish you didn't have a kid, even if it's unexpected.
You don't know. Some people probably wish
Come
they
on,
had.
They're psycho, though. The parents that are like, I wish you were never born, they're usually on drugs.
Yeah.
Like, you're in the way of my drug habit. Shit. I want to eat. Well, I need to eat. The car needs to eat. I got to put gas in the car. We'll feed yeah. you later.
Well, yeah. Kids is a hard thing. It's very difficult, you know? It changes your life like nothing else.
And then I look at some of these ladies that, these families that are super wealthy and celebrities, and every kid's got its own entourage, so they only get to right. do the fun stuff.
Right.
I don't know if
but that's not normal.
It's
know?
Not normal, but would I go for that? Possibly.
Yeah.
If I had the option.
I'm sure you
I
would.
Don't really want anybody else to raise my kids, but when I think about being able to toss them to somebody else.
Yeah.
And I could just go for a manicure and pedicure.
Well, you would be able to do
be
that.
Like, hey,
sure.
You guys hang out with Flo for a while. She's going to teach you stuff. I'll be back in like 3 days when I get back from Palm Springs. I'll write to you.
Yeah, there you go. You know, I mean, it's really not easy. You know, you have to live for the kid. You know,
yeah.
So that's why you really have to be prepared and really want one.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, it's going to be like an obstacle.
But I
in
think
your life.
Also, I was in love one time, like super in love one time. And when you're in love with that person, you want to have babies with them. I felt that way. I was really
right.
young. But I mean, there's like this, your love wants to now generate and produce life, and you just want to have a family with that person.
Right.
But I've not felt that kind of love since this person. So everybody that I've been in a relationship with, and I've cared for them, and I've loved them in a different way, I've not had those same desires. I think it's weird in a way to just want to have babies.
Yeah.
I feel like it should be a union with a family. I mean, I totally believe in the man and woman coming together and then generating that life and it being this taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
Cool unit. I love the family yeah. unit. I really
yeah.
do. But
coming together is a good thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I do think that this whole, I just have to have babies. Mm-hmm. I have to have babies. It's like, why? They're the new accessory. They're another extension of you.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, some people have it for the wrong reasons, you know.
And honestly, if I can't get pregnant, which I'm pretty sure I can. I don't know, but I've just got a feeling that I'm fertile.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever feel that you're fertile?
I don't know how that would feel.
It just feels like, I don't know, I just feel, my body right now is doing really well, but sometimes it goes into like heat. But I don't mean, not like heat, like, oh, I got to have it. But I mean, like a...
Hot flashes?
No, not like that. It feels kind of like a readiness. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, a, I guess like a bird that's like...
Right. You're ripe to be deflowered.
Don't say it so gross like that.
That's gross?
It just sounds...
That's very romantic.
It just sounds very, like, molestery to me. It sounds very, like, molestery, rapey to me. Ugh.
To deflower?
Yeah, don't say that anymore. Gross. Oh, no, I just... There's, like, a ripe feeling.
Uh-huh. There's that you're some, ready. Well, that's you're
it's
supposed to.
It's not just
to.
For
you're
sex,
woman,
though. It's not like I'm ready for sex. It's more like a fertility.
Reproduction.
Yeah, yeah, reproduction.
Yeah.
Such a clinical
you're just
word.
In such fucking denial. Like,
what are you talking about? I'm talking about an internal feeling, Sam, that you can't experience because you don't have a womb.
You deny yourself so many drives that you have.
Whatever.
You know? Yeah,
I
you
was happy,
you
though.
Do.
I'm really freaking happy.
I'm sure you are, but you'd be a lot happier if you got laid a little bit.
Please. You don't even know.
No, you don't know.
I do know. I've done it. Come on.
Yeah, but not enough times.
You don't really know anything, Sam.
Well, I know based on what you tell me. I don't know.
I just said that I'm choosing...
I'm not talking about what you've done in the past.
Yeah,
I'm
but I'm saying
right
I've experienced
now.
Good hot sex. Please, right. Family, do not be listening right now.
If you experienced good ones, you wouldn't be able to give it up, I think.
There's a lot of good things in life that people love, but they have to give it up for some things.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean it wasn't good. It just means like, oh, okay, I can't eat chocolate cake every damn meal mm-hmm. as much as I'd love to.
Right. But you can have it occasionally. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My point is there certain things that, you know,
yeah,
that are good.
Yeah. No, but I mean, I salute you for letting guys know that in advance, you know, because otherwise it's...
I had a guy walk out when I was internet dating a long time ago. This guy, I mean, you know, at the time I was like on my profile was like, okay, Jesus, just to like make sure they got the point.
Yeah.
I'm not that much of a Bible thumper, but I needed to filter. You have to filter.
I see.
And this guy, I thought he got the point, you know, we were on the first date, and he was being like really like romantic, not even romantic. What mm-hmm. was he being? He was just being kind of like flirty and stuff. And mm-hmm. so I just kind of brought it up. We were talking, and I was like, yeah, I'm celibate. And he literally got up and walked out.
Really?
I mean, such a jerk.
Yeah.
Which is fine, you know, don't waste my time. I won't waste
yeah,
yours.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
He just got, he like, okay, got up and walked out.
Yeah.
Okay, but that's L.A. too. L.A. is just disgusting. It is.
I
don't
know if it
no.
has to do with L.A.
No. No, people are users.
Why?
It's okay to be a user.
Why?
You can be a freaking user till you can use and use and use here. Use people. And
how
it's
many,
okay.
How many guys are going to stick with a chick and not have sex? For a long
well,
time.
Not a lot, but are they going to walk out on a date? He actually walked right back.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was rude. I mean, that
but
was
I'm just, that's more
stupid.
What I'm, that's what I'm talking about. It's yeah. LA. I'm not saying it's, yeah, most guys aren't going to want to.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, it's totally acceptable not to call again if that's a situation. You
yeah,
know?
Just be like, look, I'm not interested. Or even calling it short, like, hey, I kind of got to go.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But I mean,
you're
LA.
You're going to have
is...
to wait a long time till you find a guy like that. I mean, I hope you don't, but it's, I mean, I hope you don't have to wait a long time. Not that you don't meet one. But,
look, let's just... Here's the thing. I understand this is a topic that's counter... That, well, my stance is not only countercultural, but it's hard for people to understand and relate to. I am well aware of that. However, let's not paint the picture like it's bleak, because I am freaking living life. I am mm-hmm. having an awesome time. And, you know, I mean, there's so many different kinds of love. And sex is very, very... Sexuality is just very, very broad when it comes to some of the most sexy people are celibate. And mm-hmm. some of the sexy is really being tuned in and being sensual and being an observer of your surroundings and present, fully, fully present. And I just feel sex, like physical sex in its traditional sense, is a real about, it's about oneness and people just really being totally connected. Right. A lot of people have sex and aren't connected to one another. I mean, emotionally, spiritually, mentally.
But many do.
Oh, I know that they do.
You know, that's what I'm saying.
I know that they do, but like the red light district, you know, there's a lot of sex going on, but most people would agree that it's not sexy.
That's an extreme.
A lot of people would agree it's not sexy.
Right.
Meaning, you know, there's a lot of sexy people that aren't like getting down every 2 seconds. So I don't envy the person that's, you know, they're getting laid every night.
Right.
I mean, I know I'm sexy.
Yeah.
I feel sexy.
Yeah.
And I mean that in a very traditional and yet very broad sense too.
Right. No, and you project that, and that's a good thing, you know. And maybe sometimes it leads guys to think, well, maybe you're, what the hell?
Stretching, get my yoga on. No, I mean, you're right, but I'm pretty upfront about it. But guys choose what they want to hear, let's be honest. I mean, nobody could be more upfront and direct than me.
Right, right.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm very,
I have to agree.
Yeah, you know, I'm very direct, and guys are still idiots. So.
Yeah.
I like men. They're not idiots. They're just, they have selective hearing. They do. Well, so do women. I've done it. Hey, look, there's been guys that I've really, really liked. And I'll be honest, there's actually a man that I've known for, I'm going to say 4 years, and we've been on and off involved. And he just doesn't want marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And he would love to do the hangout here and there till the day he dies and not be with another woman, but, you know, just no marriage.
Right.
Doesn't want that. And I know that about him, and it's, like, so hard for me to cut it off.
Yeah.
It's so hard for me to not see this person. Mm-hmm. And I'll go, like, a long time, like, months and months and months, and, like, sometimes I've gone a year without seeing this person. But they're always in the back of my mind, and for whatever reason, we end up being in touch. And it's really, really difficult because I have to tell myself this is not what I really, really want. This person doesn't want and
the
value.
Same things that you do.
But it's so hard. It's like how much you'll deceive yourself. You're like, yeah, but what if this or what if that? And it's stupid. It's totally stupid. But, I mean, I'm just saying women do it, too.
Yeah.
Women do it, too. I do it. I try not to.
Yeah. But. So you don't feel like you're missing out on opportunities and stuff. I mean, like, wow, this guy would really be cool, you know? And
no, because I'm not. I think men look at sex differently. And maybe women, I think women don't look at it the same way. And I can only speak for myself, really, I guess. But I don't look at it like, oh, how much sex I could be having. And I think men think of it like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had one guy tell me, he was a lawyer, and he was at this place I was working, and he was like, you probably could be having a lot of sex. He said it in a way that it wasn't like he doesn't know what you know about me, but he was just talking about good-looking women and how it's available to them when and whenever, however,
at
any time.
Yeah, you don't have to try hard.
Exactly, and I never think about it like that. I never go... Oh, it's something I can have, and I can just tap into it when I want and accumulate it or whatever. I just don't even think about it like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I think for most women, sex is emotional and mental first.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Not that I'm not physical.
For many, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I have to be turned on mentally and emotionally by a guy.
Right, right. But if... That's what I'm asking, though. But if you are, what happens then?
Well, I mean, ideally, I think you kind of want to stave the, you know, kind of keep it at bay, but still have it there so that you can move towards a deeper part of the relationship. And, you know, men are never going to stop trying to bed you. I mean, that's how they're built. So if a guy even wants to wait, let's say I meet a guy who's really awesome and he wants to wait, well, he's still going to, you know, in some ways be trying to make advances.
Right.
Even maybe not fully, but that's just kind of.
Yeah,
you
that's
know,
how things go,
yeah.
You know? Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But I feel good about it. I feel like there's been times when sex, you know, not doing sex or, you know, it's been really difficult because of whatever reason.
Right.
And then you go through periods of time when it's not hard at all.
Mm-hmm.
You're just having so much fun.
Very interesting to hear that.
Well, yeah, because sometimes when life is so fun and so there's so much going on, I just don't even, it's not that I don't think about it, but I don't even feel like I'm missing anything.
Yeah.
I know it's weird, but I think that if you're, again, it's an appetite. So if you feed the appetite, it's the only thing that if you actually feed it, it gets more hungry. It never gets satisfied.
Right.
Whereas if you starve it, it becomes dormant.
Mm. I see.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks for that lesson.
Well, you asked.
Yeah, I did, I guess.
You did. You did. Don't act like I just went around bragging about it. You asked.
All right. Well, I've had enough talking for one day.
Well, fine then, Sam.
Fine then. Go home.
Bye,
see if
Sam.
I care.
See if I care. What are you doing through the rest of the day?
Working, pretty much. That's what I'm doing today. So, everybody, thank you so much for joining us. Kara, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Sam, for having me on. Maybe I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay, maybe we will. So stay tuned, and we'll be back here tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 9 a.m. until 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, originating from the Los Angeles Talk Radio studios. If you have questions about the show or would like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondence to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.